spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply. It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back. It's the beginning of a new week here for the Superhuman Nation. We've got lots of great shows planned all week, starting right off today. During our first half hour, we're going to be joined by Dr. Tatiana Kanzerska to talk about predicting cardiovascular events and sleep apnea. You know, this is a really interesting subject to me. We've talked about snoring. We've done a lot of shows on sleep apnea, both in adults and in children. So we have to continue to pull from this thread and try to understand more and more about this condition because it's rampant, at least here in the United States today and amongst men. So we want to learn more about that. Then we're going to change it up a little bit, and we're going to talk to doctors Haidong Zhu and Greg Harshfield about the linkage between adolescent salt intake, obesity, and inflammation. Then at the top of the first hour, I'm going to be joined by Elisa Profumo, and we're going to review a story that was done by 60 Minutes yesterday. 60 Minutes really did a great story last night. And I want to talk about the FDA and some of their responses in this story. It's very obvious how the pharmaceutical industry views women by the reference of estrogen to being a pesky hormone. We're going to talk about that later in the show, but let's get started. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kanzerska.
Hi, thank you very much for inviting me.
That's a pleasure. So let's talk about your study. You are with the University of Toronto, and you are looking at the effects of obstructive sleep apnea in this particular study, cardiovascular events, but also all-cause mortality, right?
Yeah.
So describe the study. Explain what the study, how it was designed.
First, we conducted this study to answer the question, what information from this sleep study was most useful at predicting cardiovascular risk and death over the next 10 years? To answer these questions, we linked data from the St. Mike's Hospital, from the sleep lab, to the administrative data, provincial health administrative data, to follow those patients through provincial health administrative data in order to define our outcomes, cardiovascular diseases and all-cause mortality.
And what length of time did you follow these people?
A median follow-up for our study was about 6 years.
Okay, and about how many participants actually in the study group?
We have about 10,000 participants.
Wow.
And within our median follow-up, we have about 1,000 event.
Okay, so now obviously you had to adjust for certain other lifestyle factors in order to tease out the actual effects from the obstructive sleep apnea, correct?
Yes. We adjusted for known risk factors for cardiovascular disease development, such as age, obesity, smoking status.
Were they also men and women in this cohort?
Yes. Yes, we have and men and women, and as usual, we have larger amount of men, but about 60% of men in our cohort.
Okay. Now, what was considered eligible for the, how many awakenings? I know that sleep apnea is rated by the number of awakenings per hour, correct?
Not really.
Oh, okay.
Not only awakenings. Yeah, as you know, obstructive sleep apnea is a chronic sleep-related breathing disorder characterized by collapse of the upper airway during sleep, leading to repetitive breathing stoppage called apnea or shallow in breathing associated with oxygen desaturation or arousal from sleep called hypopnea, and number of apneas and hypopneas per hour, usually used to establish the diagnosis of sleep apnea and to determine its severity. For example, sleep apnea classified as severe if number of apneas and hypopneas per hour more than 30. So it's okay. Not only awakening, it is a stop breathing.
So,
stop
and that's measured by oxygen desaturation. So, oxygen has to get down below what percentage in order to
be. It is not only oxygen desaturation. Within sleep study, some monitors attached to patients, and what is measuring, it is a number of complete breathing stoppage for more than 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
And shallow breathing associated with oxygen desaturation or with arousal. And for our study, we used at least 3% drop in oxygen desaturation, but some sleep labs then using 4% drops in oxygen desaturation.
Okay. I got you now. So there's multiple things that could classify somebody for this. But I think that's interesting that if they stop breathing for 10 seconds and or have a drop in oxygen saturation.
But it should be also 10 seconds, at least shallow breathing for 10 seconds associated with.
Okay, so what did you learn from the study when you found these individuals who were classically fit into the model that you created? Was their risk for cardiovascular events higher?
Yeah, what we found that after accounting for the non-risk factors such as age, obesity, and smoking, patients with obstructive sleep apnea were found to be more likely to develop cardiovascular disease, including myocardial infarction, stroke, congestive heart failure, and death. And these cardiovascular events were better predicted by low blood oxygen level during sleep and other measures, such as poor sleep quality, increased heart rate, and presence of daytime sleepiness, than the traditional apnea-hypopnea index that I just described.
Was there any indication that these individuals also had a higher occurrence of atrial fibrillation, which the population seemed, men in the population seemed to be developing at an alarming rate right now?
Yeah, unfortunately, we were not able to check for the atrial fibrillation among our population.
I have a suspicion that that's linked to there's a real large spike in atrial fib in men that you wouldn't think would have it, and I have a feeling it has something to do with snoring and or obstructive sleep apnea.
Now, yes, there are some studies that show this association. Yep.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So now, when these men were these men then prescribed a constant pressure airway device once they were indicated as having obstructive sleep apnea?
One of the limitations of our study is that we don't have information about prescribed CPAP treatment. What we used to account for the treatment, we used information from the assistant device data set that patient claimed CPAP treatment through this data set. In Ontario, government covered 75% of the cost of CPAP machine, and all this information collected in administrative data. So we use this data to account for the treatment. And what we found, when we excluded those patients that can be potentially treated, we replicated all our results on this untreated cohort.
Okay. I guess what I'm wondering is obstructive sleep apnea and the onset of some of the metabolic changes that occur as a result of obstructive sleep apnea reversible once these individuals stop this nighttime asphyxiation?
Yes, obstructive sleep apnea is a reversible and recommended treatment for obstructive sleep apnea is a CPAP, continuous positive airway pressure treatment. And it is proven effect of CPAP on daytime sleepiness. However, we still don't know if CPAP is effective in preventing cardiovascular events and mortality for obstructive sleep apnea patients.
Yeah. And is your group looking at why individuals develop, for lack of better terms, with it, when they're not obese and they don't have some other indicators that they would be at a high prevalence of obstructive sleep apnea, yet they develop it anyway. Is anyone looking at why we have this rampant increase in obstructive sleep apnea in the population today?
Yes, as far as I'm aware, Wisconsin cohort studies are looking at the natural history of sleep apnea. They're trying to understand what kind of factors are associated with the sleep apnea development. Because what we are doing, we already have cohort with diagnosed sleep apnea, and we are looking on the long-term consequences of sleep apnea.
Because I remember reading a study probably 4 or 5 years ago that said that anyone who's diagnosed with obstructive sleep apnea should undergo a complete thyroid panel because there's a linkage to that. And I'm wondering if anybody's looking at the involvement of the vagus nerve in the development of obstructive sleep apnea, because the vagus nerve also has the ability to change heart rhythm and affect the heart as well. Anyone looking at that?
Sympathetic activation. It is a part of physiological mechanism proposed actually to explain the association between sleep apnea and its long-term consequences such as cardiovascular events, metabolic changes. It is why we included in our model heart rate during the night to reflect in some way sympathetic activation during the night.
Interesting. We're going to take a quick commercial. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up on the other side. We're talking with Dr. Tatiana Kanzerska. She's with the University of Toronto. We're talking about the increased rate of heart disease in those who suffer from obstructive sleep apnea. It's a very, very important discussion. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's asking the right questions at the right time.
I don't care what side of this you're standing on, that GMO is good for us, GMO is bad for us. The truth of the matter is nobody knows the answer. Is it fair to subject this world to this experiment, which may have undeniable, unknown consequences that will be irreversible?
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
Performance counts, especially in the bedroom. H-Force introduces the Ready Now Sexual Performance Patch. Feel 8 hours of increased performance within minutes of putting on the Ready Now Patch. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Ready Now banner ad and save 50% off your first order. The best fat loss patch just got better. Now, the Age Force Fat Burner Patch includes Garcinia Cambogia. Lose body fat even faster. Try it free for 30 days. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Age Force Fat Burner banner ad today. What else do you have to lose except unwanted body fat? You already know that Quest bars are the only protein bars that Carl endorses. You know they have 20 grams of high-quality whey protein and only 3 grams of non-fiber carbs. We don't have to tell you that they're the only bars that taste like the actual names. What we want to tell you is you can get a free box of Quest bars when you buy 3 from Predator Nutrition. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com and use coupon code QUESTSH. Now you know something new. The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance, but getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. Keto Force is the first ketone salt that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Force and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Force banner ad today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking right now with Dr. Tatiana Kandreska. We're talking about the prediction of cardiovascular events in sleep apnea. And Dr. Kandreska, in the original paper, it said that there was an increased risk of all-cause mortality in the individuals who seem to have the highest score of obstructive sleep apnea, but not for acute myocardial infarction. I would have to imagine that individuals with weakened hearts who are not correcting their problem would die in their sleep of a heart attack because the heart would just not be able to continue under that load of desaturation and then trying to catch up over and over again.
We used the composite outcome just to have more statistical power to show the association. And when we looked on a separate outcomes such as all-cause mortality and stroke and myocardial infarction, we didn't find this association between our set of predictors and myocardial infarction, but we believe it just because we have a small number of myocardial infarction occurred within this follow-up time. So we just need larger study to explore the association between separate outcomes and predictors related to sleep apnea.
Now, the am I pronounce this right? The nomogram that was created as a result of the study is designed. Obviously, it needs some more validation, right? But it's designed to predict the risk of cardiovascular events based on a sleep score, correct?
It is not really a sleep score. When we designed the study, as I said, we hypothesized that the set of predictors, not only apnea-hypopnea index that used as a usual measure, but the set of predictors, which includes level of oxygen in blood, quality of sleep, and presence of daytime sleepiness, will have better prediction ability. So we created this nomogram. We included all our variables included in our predictor models, and placing the separate values for each variable on this nomogram, you can receive individual prediction for patients. You can predict 3 and 5 years event-free survival, and
So, that was my next question. Over what period of time with these individuals did we see events once they were being tracked? Was it that quickly in 3 to 5 years?
We used 3 and 5 years survival as a prediction based on our cohort because we have a median survival years of median survival of 6 years. Mm-hmm. So we decided that the most accurate so far, because our study needs further validation, and it will be better to use 3 and 5 year survival.
Now, were they asked for any other types of symptoms that they suffered from to try to get a feel for either the uniqueness or the similarity in maybe some early warning signs of someone who has sleep apnea, even though maybe they don't feel... they feel well rested, but they're still suffering from it. Like I've read one study that said individuals who suffer from obstructive sleep apnea tend to develop tinnitus, ringing in the ears, especially after their worst nights of sleep. Were any of those questions asked to this cohort?
We ask about other symptoms of sleep apnea, such as snoring, weakness of apneas. For example, if people observe if you're stopping breathing during the night and choking, gasping episodes during sleep. And also we ask if you feel refreshed In the morning after you sleep, and we ask questions about memory impairment. But among those questions regarding the symptoms associated with sleep apnea, only presence of excessive daytime sleepiness was significantly associated with the development of cardiovascular events and mortality.
Interesting, interesting. So where do you go now with this research? This obviously is very valuable if you can actually develop a metric to help people understand where their risk lies and whether or not they should get something done quickly. Where do you go next with this information?
We think that our findings suggest several directions for future research. And first, as I said, our results require external validation. Need to be replicated in a different setting or in a different population. And if the models are valid, we can use this data to stratify patients to treat based using proposed risk stratification model to evaluate the effectiveness of treatment for obstructive sleep apnea patients because probably as you know now a large trial is going in order to show the effectiveness of CPAP treatment in prediction of cardiovascular events. So probably using treating the right patients, we can show the effectiveness of CPAP treatment. Also, evaluation of the cost effectiveness of screening programs for patients with obstructive sleep apnea in order to predict long-term consequences. And evaluation of cost effectiveness of CPAP and other alternative treatment prescription or combination of treatments based on the proposed risk stratification algorithm.
I know that you looked at sleep time in this cohort. The individuals who slept longer, let's say they didn't have to get up in the morning for work, they could sleep in. Did they somehow compensate for the poor sleep hygiene that was created by the frequent awakenings, arousals, or desaturization and so on?
We found that shorter sleep time was associated with the risk of developing cardiovascular events. And also we found that number of awakenings during the night associated with this risk, and it was along with our hypothesis that sleep deprivation and sleep fragmentations are those pathophysiological components that lead obstructive sleep apnea to long-term consequences.
So I want to make sure I understood that. So you found that the ones who had the shortest sleep, they were the ones at the greatest risk? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Interesting. This is really scary. We did a survey on the website last year, and we just left it up there for 2 weeks, and we asked, you know, men, do you snore? And,
okay.
And 98% of the men, some 2,500 men who took the poll, said they snore, and, you know, very, very, 1.5% or whatever it was, 1.75% said that they did not. And the problem is that there's a lot of men out there who just snore, and they don't realize that, and this is my humble opinion. I mean, I am not a clinician, but I understand that in the worst scenarios where you're literally being asphyxiated for periods of time throughout the night and oxygen levels are dropping, arousal is occurring, you're gasping for air and so on. But even snoring, moderate snoring, in my humble opinion, can change the way the nervous system reacts because the body interprets that as a threat, and I have to believe that stress hormones go up when you're snoring at night because it's still obstructed airflow to the body. The body still interprets it as something is keeping me from breathing easily. And I have to believe that we're going to find out, just the way we found out that people who have moderate prediabetes suffer the same issues that someone who has full-blown diabetes does. It just takes longer to affect them. We're going to find out that even moderate snoring is dangerous for anyone to go unchecked.
Probably you're right, because some studies show that snoring is associated with a higher risk. In our study, we didn't find this association, but we have only self-reported snoring. And unfortunately, we had a lot of missing data on the snoring reported during the sleep study, so objectively measured snoring. In this case, when you're measuring snoring objectively, you can define snoring as a moderate or severe. And unfortunately, we have a lot of missing values, so we didn't include this variable in our model. But I agree with you that it will be interesting to look in this direction.
I wonder what the gender difference is. Why men develop... I mean, I have my own theories on this. I keep coming back to the vagus nerve being involved. I come back to the fact that testosterone causes an accumulation of toxins in the body. We know this even from... a lot of the more recent information coming out about autism right now, and women with high testosterone levels tend to predict a higher rate of autistic children. And I'm wondering if there's a linkage that testosterone causes accumulation of some sort of toxins in the body that attack the nervous system, that cause muscle tone in the throat to fail, the throat collapses, but also at the same time affects the heart. Simultaneously, that they both are being affected at the same time, and women don't have this problem because they don't have as high testosterone levels.
Based on a cohort study, what I can say is that there is a difference between course of obstructive sleep apnea for men and women, and obstructive sleep apnea for women was just recently recognized as a disease. It was just probably more than 5 years ago, but still recently. And among women, obstructive sleep apnea is less severe than among men. And probably not apnea, hypopnea index, but arousals, respiratory-related arousals is better measure of obstructive sleep apnea for women than men.
Interesting. Yeah. Listen, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show today. I think this is great research that you're doing, and I mean it sincerely. There is something is going on in our population. My father was 83 years old and didn't snore. And I snore, and I know so many men who snore, and everybody's got a CPAP machine now. Something is going on, and we need to get to the bottom of it and find out what it is so that we can treat the root cause as opposed to, you know, harnessing everybody with the CPAP machine and hoping for the best. That's my opinion. So,
agree, absolutely. Thank you very much. And you just need to remember that compliance with CPAP treatment is very important.
Yes, I agree. If you are fitted with a CPAP machine, I don't care what reasons you have not to use it, you need to use it, because otherwise you're going to shorten your life. That's the end of that story. Thank you very much, Dr. Kinzerska.
Thank you very much. Bye.
Bye. All right, so stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the linkage between salt intake and with adolescence and obesity and inflammation. We'll be right back.
Highlighting the hypocrisy in government, one meal at a time.
The USDA and the FDA going after small family farms. They're telling these farmers that by selling direct to end users like you and I, because they're outside the jurisdiction of the USDA and the FDA, the USDA says it's dangerous to be buying from these farmers. Really? And we're all thriving buying from these farmers, but the USDA and the FDA said, no, you're wrong. You may not think that because you're not getting sick that something's wrong, but we know there's something wrong.
Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Orbit Nutrition carries over 1,000 of the hottest nutritional supplements, performance enhancers, and nutraceuticals on the planet. And now, Superhuman Radio listeners get an additional 5% off their everyday low prices by using the coupon code SHR5. That's SHR and the number 5. Choose from products like Quest Protein Bars, iForce Nutrition,
Nutrition, Iron Mag Labs, and more. Check out Orbit's daily deals for special insane blowout prices. Log on to the Orbit Nutrition Forum and get feedback about the products you're shopping for and get an additional 5% off using the coupon code SHR5. Orbit Nutrition. Fast, reliable, competitive, international. Why shop anywhere else?
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the BioAge banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenge and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. Childhood obesity is a big problem today. It's a topic of a lot of discussion. My next guest is Dr. Greg Harshfield, and he's with the Medical College of Georgia at Georgia Regents University. How you doing, Dr. Harshfield?
I'm doing just fine. Dr. Haidong Zhu, who published the paper, she's here.
Okay, great. Are you guys on a speakerphone?
Yes, we are.
Okay, get close to it, okay, because sometimes we get a little feedback. Okay, great. Thanks. So talk about the study, first of all. Whoever wants to go first, explain the design of the study.
Haidong?
Yes. Okay, this is Haidong Zhu.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Zhu.
Yeah, the design of the study actually was a cross-sectional design. It was existing the previously NIH-funded study, actually. That study was designed to look for dietary factors and the physical activity on children's fatness and the cardiovascular risk factor. So for our study, I think we aim to look at the dietary sodium intake in relationship to obesity and also the inflammation. So why are we doing that? Because we know that high sodium intake is a well-established risk factor for high blood pressure, heart disease, kidney disease, and stroke in adults. But the relationship between the dietary sodium intake and obesity is actually not so clear. I think this topic is understudied.
Okay, so what was the threshold that was considered high sodium intake for this cohort?
I think that's a good question. The average sodium intake of our cohort is based on the 14 to 18 years old adolescents is 3,300 milligrams.
Wow.
Yeah, and almost same, identical to the average, the adult sodium intake.
Now, how did you assess their sodium intake? Were they required to keep a diary of what they ate and when they ate?
Yes, actually, we assessed the sodium intake by a 7-day dietary recall. So the kids was like the like 7 times. The first 2 times, they came to our research center to like do the face-to-face, like in-person interview. So ask lots of detail about what they eat for the past 24 hours, what they eat, what they drink, what's the portion the food they eat.
Now, so obviously, we're not talking about sodium intake as a, a separate component. We're not asking them, do you salt your food and how much salt? You're assessing sodium intake based on, I would imagine, a high consumption of processed foods, right?
Yeah, we ask them, for example, like how much bread do you take? Did you eat a pizza? How many slices of pizza? Or what's how many bottles of drinks or soda or Coke?
So I have to believe, and see, I understand the linkage between high sodium intake and disease, certain diseases. But some of that information has now been challenged by, if you have an intake of equal amounts of potassium, that somehow mitigates the dangers of sodium intake. So I'm wondering if this study is more of an indictment on processed foods, obesity and inflammation, which sodium just happens to be used a lot in processed foods for a variety of reasons, for taste as well as a preservative and so on.
We look at the total your sodium intake, but of course, 75% of sodium intake come from the processed food and soda. Yeah, and then the potassium intake do I think provide beneficial effect, but I think this study will also adjustment the impact of potassium intake. Also, we still see the
now what I think was really interesting, Dr. Zhu, about your study. Was regardless of how they're getting the sodium. So in other words, let's put processed foods aside for a second because we know they're bad. But okay, regardless of how they're getting their sodium, sodium had a direct effect on leptin resistance, did it not?
Yes, of course. Our study is human cross sectional. We found this relationship, but we cannot see definitely confirm it's caused leptin resistant. But I think the animal study shows that they fed the animals with the high salt intake, and they do see that they not only their fat cells grow, but also the leptin production increased.
So
and also that study shows independent obesity, they still high sodium intake increased leptin level.
So I want to ask Dr. Harshfield a question. So Dr. Harshfield,
yes.
Again, is this an indictment on sodium or is this an indictment on processed food and their excessive use of sodium? Because this, it's hard to eat a bologna and cheese sandwich without eating the bread. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's. I don't think I would use the word indictment.
I tend to be a little bit of an extremist. So.
Yes. Without the salt, we wouldn't have the food available. But it is to some extent, as you said, if you increase your potassium intake, then it will counterbalance that in many regards. And we've seen that in a lot of our data as well, that if you have an increase in salt and if you increase the potassium, it will normalize the effects of salt.
So really what we need to get these, okay, so first of all, you probably don't know a lot about the show, but we've been on the air for 9 years, and I've been a proponent for over 9 years now of an ancestral diet. Some people call it paleo,
mm-hmm.
but I'm interested in things that you cook yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We promote family farm relationships, buy your produce, blah, 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 blah. So no one in my audience eats processed foods except in some exceptions when they're cheating, and we call it cheating, right? So I think that the message should be sent to the processed food manufacturers.
Yes.
Is that, look, you need to put sodium and potassium in here in equal levels. And let's face it, low sodium salt has sodium and potassium in equal levels. It tastes just like salt. So why aren't they adding potassium to these foods?
I really don't know. I mean, you need a ratio of sodium to potassium. It's not equal levels, and it's usually a 3-to-1 ratio is what you want. So,
okay.
But I don't know. I think I agree with you that the best thing to do is eat non-processed foods.
Now, what about inflammation? Dr. Zhu, inflammation is really at the root of most chronic disease in today's society. What was the relationship between high sodium intake and inflammatory response or chronic inflammation?
Yes, you are right. Yeah, so inflammation exactly play very important role in chronic disease. And so our study we show that so higher sodium intake associated with higher level of inflammation. And also the other literature, in animal literature, also shows the high salt diet promote the tissue inflammation and also accelerate the autoimmune disease. And some also study in adults also show the sodium restriction or lower your sodium intake also help reduce the level of inflammation. But yeah. The inflammation in adolescents, in children, is very rare. So in our study, we show that although in your adolescent years, the higher sodium intake already associated with higher level of inflammation.
And so, and you know, childhood rates of childhood cancer are now up to, I think, 187 per 1 million children under the age of 18. Cancer is directly affected by insulin resistance, and sodium affects insulin resistance through an aldosterone pathway. I know that individuals who have high sodium diets tend to have an altered insulin response. Did you find that in these individuals? Did you look at fasted blood sugar levels at all?
Actually, we look at the level, but in our study, we didn't find like significant. Yeah.
I guess, and you know, when you're young, you're robust, right, Dr. Harshfield? You can really super compensate for a lot when you're young.
Yeah, I'm impressed that you knew about aldosterone.
I don't know anything about it. Somebody just handed me a piece of paper and I read it. Don't even ask me what it is.
So that's the right pathway. You're right.
But
I don't remember the question.
So what about the heart? Did you look at the effect of this on the heart at all? Dr. Zhu?
You looked at the vascular?
Yeah, no. Because this study have limited phenotype.
Right.
No, not in the heart. But the study in adults, they show that higher sodium intake associated with higher left ventricular mass. And that,
Here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to ask you some questions about the activity level of these children as well. We're talking right now with Drs. Haidong Zhu and Dr. Greg Harshfield. We're talking about increased sodium intake in adolescents and how it correlates with obesity and inflammation. This is a really important topic because in today's day and age, we can't get it right for adults, and kids are suffering too when it comes to our food supply. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Carl Lenore.
The FDA has exceeded all of its previous levels of being sinister and corrupt by trying to poison this country by forcing us to eat genetically modified foods without knowing they're GMO foods while trying to obstruct our access to natural foods that are grown right in our hometown.
Empowering the people and telling it like it is.
They're corrupt, they're sinister, they're disgusting. And we're never going to have a politician with any real chutzpah to stop the FDA. That's the sad part. So we have to stop them ourselves. Biden, the pressure has to push back. Keep supporting your family farm.
Only on Superhuman Radio.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides. A special offer from Rob Regish for Blueprint Power Hour listeners. Purchase 1 year of the Blueprint Bulletin and get the Blueprint 3.0 ebook for free. The first 100 subscribers will receive the Superhuman University Add 1 Inch to Your Upper Arms course and another surprise bonus when you order. Go to theblueprintbulletin.com today or click the Blueprint banner ad on superhumanradio.com and get on the road to Gainesville in the fast lane.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back. We're talking with Drs. Haidong Zhu and Greg Harshfield about the linkage between high salt intake in adolescence, obesity, and inflammation. Dr. Zhu, did you look at or ask in your questionnaire, did you ask to assess the activity level of any of these children?
Yes, you mean the physical activity?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
And did you see any correlation to a linkage between higher activity levels mitigating some of these damning effects of sodium?
The relationship between sodium and adiposity, and or another word, fatness, still exists after we take into account their physical activity.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's sad to hear, because I was hoping that if kids got around and moved around more, they can, you know, the truth of the matter is, this is really a message to parents, not to children, because
yes.
I would have to imagine that parents make the decision on what to put in the refrigerator. Now, as a parent, I can tell you that after some browbeating and whining from your kid to buy Hot Pockets, you may cave in and buy them, right? But, there's gotta be a fine line here, and where you have to choose your fights. And I think that parents who rely on, prepared meals, processed foods and prepared meals, because, you know, they're a one parent family, the mom or the dad is gone all day, the kid is a latchkey kid, they come home from school, it's like, hey, make this pizza for yourself when you get home. I won't be home until 8 o'clock at night. They're the ones that are at the greatest risk of having this happen to their children. They're the ones that need to look at better alternatives to feed their kids. What do you think about that, Dr. Harshfield? Is that an accurate statement?
I would agree, and our PR person is here, and she's going to get mad at me, but I would say this in a way. It's being selfish. And you need to do the best things you can for your kids, and so I'm older now that I don't have to worry about it. I have an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old, but when I had small kids, I cared about what they ate, and when my parents raised me, they cared about what I ate, and So I think it's they think that the time of, at work is more important than the time taking care of the kids, and that's being a little bit selfish because they're getting satisfaction out of work, but they're not helping their children.
Yeah, and that's the problem. I mean, I've seen it in friends of mine, and you know, I can't find fault with them because the reality is it's very, very hard for most people today. We're all under such pressure to pay the bills. We feel like rats on a wheel and some things have to give, but I think that what we need to do is find better alternatives. There are other ways to find prepared meals. And you know, we have a large faction of listeners that fall into the fitness / bodybuilding community. And their dedication to preparing their own food twice a week, a lot of people prepare every Sunday and every Wednesday. They'll cook and portion control out their animal proteins and their vegetables, and they'll put it in the refrigerator, and it's ready to, you know, you just have to warm it up and obviously take it out of the plastic before you put it in the microwave. But that can be done for kids too.
Yes, you are right. That's exactly right. And also another thing, you know, that the eating behavior, the food, the habit, the eating habit, if once they established in early childhood, it's very difficult for them to change.
Yes.
So that's why it's so important for the parent to set up, build up a healthy eating habit from very early on of their children's life. So, yeah.
Dr. Zhu, what do you hope both clinicians and lay people take away from this research?
From our, I really like you said, the spread the word out. Like our kids, they really eat too much sodium, almost double their what their body needs for the good health.
Right.
Enough to maybe increase risk, not only for blood pressure, heart disease, and also for their obesity as well. So the parents or maybe pediatrician should educate the parents or the kids, try to, they can change their life by modifying their behavior, their eating behavior. They can select, like you said, healthy food. They can have the fresh fruit for snack versus of like potato chips.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the parent should have cook more at home rather than taking tea.
You know what the solution is? It just dawned on me, right? So the American society, we cast our elderly out into nursing homes. Maybe have grandma move back in and have her do the cooking because she probably knows, she remembers how to cook good food.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we can make that in vogue, Dr. Harshfield. We have to get that passed around. Was it outside the scope of this study to actually assess blood pressure and renal function in these individuals?
In this study, we didn't. We mainly look at the adiposity
risk. Right, right.
Yeah, because that's really already well established. There are so many studies, also good studies, the clinical trial already firmly established that high sodium intake is a risk factor for high blood pressure.
Right.
And
right.
Heart disease.
Yeah.
You hit on something that's part of my heart here about renal function. And
yeah.
We've seen that when individuals are under stress, a lot of them will hold on to salt, and that is related to obesity, and that holding on to salt impairs the renal function, and that keeps the blood pressures up for a lot longer period after the stress is gone. So I think that this is it's exciting that this is a way of looking at this without putting it in that context of physiology.
Well, and when you look at the obesogenic model, right, and you look at the relationship of insulin production and angiotensin converting enzyme and aldosterone, and you look at you have these individual and see that the nice thing about kids is they're robust, right? So
yeah.
Their pancreas can still keep up. If doctors would start to look at C-peptide and blood sugar, because looking at blood sugar by itself is like me looking at my foot and assessing the distance between my gas pedal and the floorboard and trying to figure out how fast I'm going. If I'm going uphill, I'm going slower. You have these kids who the blood sugar is fine, but their pancreas is pumping out ridiculous amounts of insulin in order to establish that. that homeostasis. And when you look at that and you look at the linkage between high sodium diets, high blood pressure as a result of angiotensin converting enzyme and aldosterone, you say, wow, if we can get these kids eating differently, all the whole downstream effect is that they get, their bodies get right again.
Absolutely. One of the interesting things that we started seeing, I used to work in adults, and we started seeing when we were looking at the kids, these kids' systems operate when they're healthy very quickly. Like you're talking about the renin angiotensin and aldosterone system. That system usually takes about 45 minutes to operate, to go through its cycle. But in kids, it'll take only 30 minutes or so. So when you see that system operating very well, and that's what happens in healthy kids, it maintains their blood pressures and other things as well. But when you see them with a high salt diet and that produces impaired functioning, it then generates the early development of cardiovascular disease and renal dysfunction and all the diseases, insulin resistance, etc.
Yeah, and we know that even if a child is obese as a young child, but then loses weight later on as they become a young adult, the damage that has been done at that youthful age will come back to haunt them later on in life. We know that now.
Absolutely.
So parents have a real responsibility. It's a tough decision. You got to put up with the kicking and the screaming because you won't buy the Hot Pockets for a while, and it'll subside, but you have to do it. I mean, if your kid came home and started smoking cigarettes at 9 years old, you wouldn't go, you know, and the kid's, you know, I want to smoke. Okay, go ahead, smoke. No, you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, we can put up with the dogs barking. We can't put up with the kids barking.
Isn't that something? I actually thought that, you know, when you're traveling, they have that book, and they have the in-flight magazines. They always have that guy who wants to teach business people how to negotiate. I can't think of his name, but I can see the picture. It's a full-page ad. And I've always thought my son Chase would have been a great negotiator. Please! And then they start, please! I mean, imagine showing up at a business deal at IBM and using that negotiation skill. People will go, okay, give him what he wants. Just get him out of here. You know? It's like, I can't take his nagging and crying any longer. So obviously it works on us parents as well. Listen, I think this is great research. And this is the kind of research that if you did this study a different way and published the same information, it needs to be published over and over and over and over again until people get it through their head that there is an absolute linkage between what you put in your mouth and disease states. We've gone too long thinking that, you know, quote unquote, this ubiquitous term eating healthy, everybody eats healthy now, but everybody's obese and dying. That we need to understand, going back to Hippocrates' first edict, let food be thy medicine and medicine be food. It's true. Food has an effect on physiology, and what you eat determines how you're going to live.
Absolutely.
Oh, great, great research. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Take care. All right, so stay tuned. When we come back, Elisa Profumo is going to join us, and we're going to critique an episode of 60 Minutes last night that really shows what the pharmaceutical industry thinks about women. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
He's keeping tabs on government health agencies.
It's called the Environmental Protection Agency.
Carl Lenore.
Where is the protection? Where is the protection?
Superhuman Radio.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin stretching, muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD
and neither should you.
Just like Carl Lenore, jumpstart your day with a liquid shot of high-dose vitamin C. Everyone is searching for that magic formula to look better and feel better. We don't claim to have a magic formula, but we do know that more than 1 million people take a shot of our high-dose vitamin C supplement every day. They're rewarding their body with an important nutrient and antioxidant that is sugar-free, gluten-free, and dairy-free. All of these benefits and no side effects. Unlike pills and powders, this high-tech bullet delivers vitamin C directly into your cells. Try Live-On Labs Vitamin C with a 100% money-back guarantee. Save $10 when you order now. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com or call 1-866-790-2107. That's 1-866-790-2107. And mention code SHRC to save $10 off each carton. Carl sees the benefits. So will you.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wise Choice Medicine. Medicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Do you avoid protein powder because it upsets your stomach? Want a protein powder with zero fat and lactose free? Look no further. Muscle Gauge Nutrition's Pure Whey Isolate delivers 25 grams of pure whey without any of the fat or lactose. And for a limited time, you can get a 5-pound jug of Pure Whey Isolate for $50 and free shipping. It's the lowest price you'll find anywhere guaranteed. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Muscle Gauge Nutrition banner ad and use coupon code SHR today. Limit one per household.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Whoever the guy who sings this song has the same problem I have, because that's him clearing his throat, not me. Okay, so here's something unusual. Elisa Profumo was on the phone today instead of in the studio. How you doing, Elisa?
Hey, how are you?
Good. So I really wanted to do this today. Last night, 60 Minutes, I think Leslie Stahl did a fantastic interview. And I think that 60 Minutes did a great job. And I want to talk about some of the things that I feel are complete failures on the FDA's part specifically. But more importantly, how the pharmaceutical industry really doesn't give a damn about women at all. And for those of you women out there on pharmaceutical drugs, hear this loud and clear. Big Pharma doesn't give a damn about you. In fact, you're a pain in the neck. What was the term they kept referring to estrogen as last night, Elisa?
Well, they were just referring to women as having pesky hormones.
Pesky hormones. Yeah, those pesky hormones. So, okay, so let's kind of summarize this. So last night, 60 Minutes did an episode about Ambien. When women take Ambien,
It was basically sex matters.
Yes.
Basically, the overall story was that the differences between women and men, sex does matter when it comes to drugs and heart attacks and strokes and things of that nature.
But pharmaceutical companies don't, last night they focused on Ambien because it's been over a year that the FDA has known that about 45% more of the active ingredients in Ambien, which is Zolpidem, ends up in women's bloodstream than men, which means that if your doctor prescribes, I don't know what they prescribe them in, 20 milligrams of Ambien to me and 20 milligrams of Ambien to Elisa, well, she's going to, let's say I end up with 10 milligrams in my bloodstream, you know, whatever. She's going to end up with 15 milligrams in her bloodstream. And The FDA did nothing with this information. They didn't go back to the manufacturers of Ambien and say, you need to let doctors know to prescribe less for women than men. They didn't say, we need to get the word out for women who are already taking high doses. They didn't do anything. The FDA sat back and let Big Pharma do what it does best, which is take advantage of Americans.
Well, basically, did you say that they've known for 2 years?
No, 1 year. I thought it was 1 year. I thought they said last night on the show that it's been over a year that the research showed that Ambien is 45% more active ingredients ends up in women's bloodstreams than men. I thought it was a year, but maybe it was longer.
No, it was 20 years ago.
Oh, wow.
If you remember on the show on 60 Minutes last night, they showed where the FDA knew 20 years ago, and they even have it in writing that the FDA, I'm looking for it on the, that 45%, that they discovered that there was a 45% difference between man and woman.
Yeah, it says here that for...
FDA has known that since 1992.
Yeah, it said, how did it happen that for 20-some years, women, millions of them, were essentially overdosing on Ambien? You're right, I stand corrected. So for over 20 years, the FDA knew about this and did nothing. And keep in mind that women take Ambien and they sleepwalk. There was one woman on TV years ago who drove like to Atlantic City and gambled and went home and went to bed and didn't remember it.
It says that the effect of the Ambien is approximately 45% higher in females than in males. And so the results suggest a gender-related difference. And she went on and she said this to the woman who, Dr. Sandra Queter,
right.
And basically she said that there was nothing that they could do about it.
And this is exactly why the FDA needs to be dismantled. The FDA provides no firewall to people. Even when they have good information that they should act on, they don't. And you have to ask yourself why that is. And the reason is because their clients are pharmaceutical companies. They're not there to protect the people. Okay? So on top of that, let's go a step further. So, scientists are the most brilliant people in the world. Wouldn't you agree, Elisa?
Yes.
Okay. Well, scientists, when they do studies on rat model studies, they only use male rats. They don't use female. Some of these scientists were women. And you would think that they would say to themselves, I mean, when I do an interview about anything, I always ask about gender difference. So is it different for men and women? I just did this a little while ago in the sleep apnea discussion. And so scientists are doing research on male rats for the pharmacokinetic effects of drugs because they feel like, you know, that's the standard. That's all you need to know because women, you know, too bad.
Well, no, basically what they said just last night was that as far as women's health, when you say women's health, it usually means bikini medicine.
Yeah, with the boobs, the breast.
What that means is breast and ovarian cancer, pregnancy, menstrual cycles, and for the parts of the body that the men and the women share, the hearts, the kidneys, the brain, the studies were done predominantly on men.
Now, interestingly enough, they did a stem cell study, and they discovered by accident the difference between male and female rats because instead of having to tag the stem cells, they decided to take the stem cells from male rats and inject them in female rats and vice versa because they could tell by the Y chromosome which are which. Well, the male rats that were injected with the female stem cells fared better. The female rats that were injected with male stem cells didn't fare as good, which meant for them that they realized that the female stem cells were better than the male, but more importantly, what it showed was by accident that there is a gender difference in response to these types of things. So Leslie Stahl asks Dr. Sandra Queter, so is the FDA going to go back and reevaluate all these drugs that, like, you know, SSRIs and all these drugs that are being given to women today to see if they have different effects? Maybe it's not even that they are more effective or less effective. Maybe they have completely different effects. Maybe In men, it helps their depression. In women, it makes them suicidal. No, the FDA said, that would be way too much work. Way too much work? That's like going to a restaurant and saying to the waiter, can you bring my meal to the table? He goes, no, it's way too much work. Come to the kitchen and pick it up yourself. Why did I go to a restaurant with a waiter?
She said it was a huge undertaking.
That they couldn't do it.
Basically, that means they can't do it. It says here, the neurologist that she also interviewed, his name was Larry Cahill.
Right. He was great.
He said that there was a GAO report that found 8 of the 10 prescription drugs withdrawn from the market from 1997 to 2001 posed greater health risks for women than for men.
Isn't this great? So here's the bottom line. Okay.
Okay. And then he goes on further to say now women must be included in studies, in human studies that are government funded. However, they include women and men, and they don't analyze the difference between the women and the men. So that muddles up what the results are, because the results are different between men and women.
Which means the bottom line is it's business as usual. Even though they're going to include women, they're going to put everybody in the same pool, and you're going to have an average response between men and women. That's going to happen.
That's correct. They're not going to analyze the different sexes.
So basically, the pharmaceutical industry is saying, look, we really don't care if these things don't work for women, as long as they work for men. You women can just take your chances with it. And the FDA is comfortable with that. I'm shocked. I've never sat here and talked about a 60 Minutes episode before, but this was shocking to me.
It was shocking to me that they kept referring to women having pesky hormones.
Yeah. You know, women are more complex than men because they can make a human being, right? So obviously they're more complex than men are. But you have to remember, science is, these companies are run by men. And men make the decision about science. And women are just an unnecessary nuisance as far as they're concerned, I think.
Well, Dr. Sandra Quetter of the FDA, so Leslie Stahl was talking to her and saying, should women feel secure about the dosages that are recommended?
Right.
And she said that every patient has to have the right dose. And
regardless of whether they're men and women, she was saying.
Right.
Yeah.
And so she said, then Leslie says, well, how's a doctor supposed to know? And she said, Sandra Quetter says you start at the lowest dose and you see if that's enough. And then Leslie Stahl says, yeah, but you're doing the studies and you're going to rely on your recommendations. And she said, yep, that was it. Yep. Like, she doesn't care. There was no concern. Just, yeah.
The FDA is an example of, and Henry Kissinger once said, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. The FDA makes no apologies for their incompetence. The FDA makes no apologies for their openly corrupt business as usual approach. The FDA makes no apologies for the fact that they've known for 20 years that a drug like Ambien affects women differently than it does men. And it's only when the FDA gets caught do they shift around and they go, well, we'll do this. And they always do things that really are not protective of the American people before they're protective of their clients, the pharmaceutical industry.
So Leslie Stahl goes on to say that it sounds like the FDA is being more reactive than aggressive about this. And Dr. Quetter says that she thinks that they're being very aggressive about bringing the most sophisticated science to new drugs and about applying the science where we have reason to believe there is a concern to older drugs, where they have reason to believe.
Yeah, so you know who they're going to make... They're going to rely on their clients, the pharmaceutical industry, to let them know what they believe. We have to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about another statement that was made that I wish somebody would have coached Leslie Stahl on. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio.
They say that tough love is sometimes the best advice. Well, he's got the toughest love.
Why you should not drink diet sodas. It's very, very simple. If you don't subscribe to the idea that they're toxic, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they cause a derangement in insulin response. If you don't subscribe to that, fine. Then subscribe to the idea that they spike insulin. I mean, it's like, do whatever you want, but why do we need science to to tell us to stop consuming more chemicals? Are you really that pathetically addicted to something that's not good for you? Then say it. Say, I'm addicted to these things that I can't help myself. I know they're bad for me. I'm going to keep using them, and then we don't have to do research.
You're listening to Superhuman Radio with Carl Lenore.
If you're taking more than one nutritional supplement, stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food you can buy. Even Olympic athletes have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. You take just one nutritional supplement to help the brain with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity. It is safe with no contraindications. Learn more at BioAge.com or call 877-288-9116. Mention Superhuman Radio and get a 10% discount. You can also go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click the Bio Age banner ad. Enter promo code SHR for a discount.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Research on how colostrum improves athletic performance, muscle growth, health, and vitality is undeniable, but finding a reliable source of colostrum is difficult. Now the Superhuman Nation has Immunodynamics. For over 30 years, Immunodynamics has been regarded as both the standard and the source for consistently providing only first 6-hour colostrum, painstakingly processed by continually refined methods to provide the highest biological activity in the world. For a limited time, when you buy Percoba Extra Edge Colostrum Powder, you'll get a bottle of colostrum lozenges and a Fit and Fresh portable drink mixer free. Use coupon code SHR at checkout. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Immunodynamics banner ad today.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
What happens when you take UltraDrawl and reduce it to near molecular size? You get skin-stretching muscle gains ridiculously fast. You get NanoDrawl, only from Predator Nutrition. NanoDrawl is a stronger muscle builder than even methylstenbolone. NanoDrawl's nanoparticle size gets faster entry to the bloodstream and muscle cells. Batch tested for potency. You can save 10% off by using the coupon code NANRL1. Click the NanoDrawl banner ad on superhumanradio.com today. Get ready to outgrow your wardrobe. Get NanoDrawl.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to gum disease. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I want to read something to you before we go further. I want to set the stage for something, okay?
Okay.
This is right from the archives.gov website, okay? Statistical information about the fatalities and casualties in the Vietnam War, okay? This is all fatalities. This is accidental, declared dead, died of wounds, homicides, illness, killed in action, presumed dead, nobody remains recovered, presumed dead, somebody remains covered, self-inflicted, a total of 58,220 U.S. casualties. If you look at just those killed in action, it's 40,934. You're saying, Carl, why are you talking about this? Because Vioxx killed over 55,000 Americans. Is anybody else out there upset about that besides me? That no one went to jail for Vioxx? No one at the FDA got called on the carpet for Vioxx. No, you know, And this is going to lead into my statement about what Leslie Stahl said. And I, God bless Leslie Stahl. She did a great job yesterday. I got to be honest with you. She asked the hard questions, okay? But there was one thing that she slipped on that she didn't hold Quetta to. So Vioxx killed almost as many people in the short time it was on the market as we lost in all casualties combined in the Vietnam War. Okay, now think about that for a second when I say this. Leslie Stahl asked, what was her first name? Quetta?
Susan
Quetta. And one of the questions she asked, she implied that the FDA does their own research. And Quetta never spoke up and said, well, wait a minute, Leslie, we don't do any research. The pharmaceutical companies submit their findings to us and we read it and we decide whether or not it's plausible and it looks like it's good. And we don't do any research ourselves to check to see if they're lying to us, if it's reproducible, if they've left something out, if they've fibbed. We don't check it. And when you ask the FDA about this, they always say, well, we don't have the resources to do all that research, right? Keep in mind, there's the same FDA that's always trying to overreach and get oversight in other industries, but they don't have the money to do their own job the way they're doing it now. When Leslie Stahl asked that question, Susan Quetta should have said, oh, Leslie, we don't do any research. We just rubber stamp the stuff that's handed to us by the pharmaceutical industry. I think the next question would have been, well, how can you do your job? So in other words, it's kind of like the fox telling the farmer, hey, you don't have to go check the hen house. I checked it for you already, and all the chickens are fine. Oh, okay, that's fine. Thanks, Mr. Fox. And the fox goes back and eats some more chickens because you're too lazy to walk down the road and check your own hen house. The FDA provides no firewall in these kind of circumstances. The pharmaceutical industry can lie, cheat, omit information. Look at Vioxx. The FDA went, oh, well, we didn't know they were lying to us. Let's pull that drug off the market. What does the FDA do?
I'd like to go to mention a couple things about the 60 Minutes piece.
Please.
All of the doctors, with the exception of Larry Cahill, like the scientists that they used, they were female. And so, female doctors.
Yeah, I know. It was great.
Leslie Stahl was speaking to one of the vascular surgeon. She was a vascular surgeon from Northwestern University.
I remember that.
And she said to her, Leslie Stahl says, if I walk into a lab anywhere in the country doing animal research, what are my chances of coming upon a study with only male animals? And she's talking about right now, today. And the doctor said, very large. And Leslie Stahl says, today? And she says, correct. So these female rats also have pesky hormones, so they don't use the female rats
right.
in the studies either.
Right, because here's the thing that you need to take away. We know that the pharmacokinetics of drugs are affected by lots of things like polymorphisms and gender. Drugs that work a certain way, let's say in the Indian population, I'm talking about in India, don't necessarily work the same way here in America or the European population. So drug manufacturers actually do different trials in different countries. But they won't do different trials for men and women. Now think about this for a second. So what they're basically saying is, we really don't care how these drugs affect women. We only care how they affect men. Women are women are so much smarter than men as far as organizing and mobilizing opinions. Women need to come down hard on the FDA. Look, the FDA is the firewall. The FDA has to force these companies to not only use female animals and female humans in their research, but extrapolate the data independently, male and female, so they can make proper recommendations of which drugs work in women and at what doses. And until the FDA does that, they should withhold all their paychecks, in my opinion.
So there was another person, Doris Taylor, who is a leading stem cell expert at Texas Heart Institute in Houston, Texas. And she's the one, you mentioned the stem cells earlier. She's
right.
The one who did the stem cell study on these mice.
Yeah, stem cells that actually can reduce plaque buildup in the arteries, by the way. Really cool
stuff.
And
when Leslie Stahl asked her about, using male animals versus female animals, she said that she was a little embarrassed to admit that it never occurred to her to use
that
female.
That, you know, and this is what I'm saying. That is so bizarre to me, because whenever I do an interview with a scientist and the research is profoundly important, I always ask them, were there gender differences? You know, what did women respond differently? Do women have the same problem? Because it's just intuitive to me to understand that women are different than men. So clearly, women would react differently than men. But the pharmaceutical industry doesn't think so.
Here's her quote from Doris Taylor. I'm embarrassed to admit, as a woman, it had never really occurred to me that doing the experiment in male versus female animals would give completely different results. Now, she's a leading stem cell expert.
And she's a woman. I mean, shame on her. They should take her woman card away from her. I mean, come on.
I don't have one of those.
Come on. I mean, yeah. Seriously? I don't understand it. I mean, well, this is why I always say critical thinking is so important. When science contradicts what you know to be true, abandon science, because science is evolving and changing its position every single day. And so always go with what you know to be true. This is why. But scientists don't understand that. It's sad. Anyway, it was a great interview, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
An eye-opening. Eye-opening yet further evidence of the dereliction of duties at the Federal Food and Drug Administration. Further evidence.
As women, we should all be very aware of this and use critical thinking when it comes to our hormones and if we take any prescription drugs, the dosages, and really do some research before taking anything.
And if your doctor prescribes a drug for you and it's not working for you, suggest to your doctor, maybe it doesn't work for women. And if your doctor looks at you like you're an idiot, get a different doctor. This is another thing. People need to start looking at their doctors and going, I don't think you're right. Because the days of doctors acting like God, they're gone. They should have never acted like God. But the American Medical Association positioned them in such a way where we're supposed to just turn our lives over to them so they can feed us drugs. Okay? Those days are gone. Your doctor could be an idiot. Just because they're a doctor, they were not born with any special attributes that make them a doctor any more than you're born with any special attributes to do the job you do every day.
And I agree. The FDA has no business in any other, like they want to take over supplements. They have no business doing that. They can't handle what they do now.
That's right. Not until they do what they're supposed to do first. They need to step up and wrangle in the pharmaceutical industry once and for all. They need to do it, but they're not going to. And you know when they will start doing it? When we start putting them in jail for complicity. Somebody needs to go back to the Vioxx deal and go, who was it at the FDA that interfaced with this company? Okay, you're going to jail because you did your job wrong. Let me tell you something. Back during one of the Olympics in China, remember the Olympics when it was in China last, Beijing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Beijing had a problem. They had a problem with a company shipping growth hormone to the United States. And so the American government said, hey, if you guys are going to have the Beijing Olympics, you need to stop this growth hormone coming into the United States. Well, when the Beijing government tried to implement this, they weren't getting any success. So they went to the head of the Chinese equivalent to the FDA. And when they reviewed what he was doing, they realized that he was on the take from some of the pharmaceutical companies. They executed him. You hear that?
I heard you.
They executed. Yes. Now, I am not saying that we should execute people. That is too far to the other extreme. But sitting back and letting these companies kill Americans and not doing anything, that's the other end of the extreme. We need to find some place in the middle. Somebody needs to be prosecuted at the FDA. That's all I'm saying. That'll send a message, because then other people at the FDA will go, well, gee, I wonder if it's worth it for me to do this or turn my back on that, knowing that I probably will go to jail for it.
Well, I doubt that that's going to happen anytime soon.
Right.
Because the FDA is basically incestuous when it comes to compared to the government. They're all in bed together.
Yeah.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. Anyway, I thanks so much for reporting on this, Elisa. This was a great story. And again, I applaud Leslie Stahl. 60 Minutes doing what it does best, bringing the facts to the American people and not worrying about who it ostracizes or hurts. I love them. I love 60 Minutes. So anyway, well, we had a great show today. I want to thank our participants. I want to thank Dr. Tatiana Kaczerska for coming on and talking about the linkage between sleep apnea and cardiovascular risk. Also, Drs. Haidong Zhu and Dr. Greg Harshfield for talking about sodium intake and its linkage in adolescence to obesity and chronic inflammation. We've got lots of great shows planned all week long. And thanks for Elisa Profumo for coming on a Monday instead of a Friday. How do you like that?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks so much. Right. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.